Good morning and welcome. It is February 28th, and I welcome you to the First Presbyterian Church of Westerville as we live stream this service this morning. I apologize for starting a little late. We've had a couple technical difficulties, but we think we have those resolved. Just want to say that we are a congregation of the Presbyterian Church USA and a member of the Presbytery of Scioto Valley, and we're located at 41 West College Avenue in Uptown Westerville. I'm the Reverend Mark Gowan, pastor here at First Presbyterian, and I will be leading our worship today. We have Lynn Meyer playing the organ and the piano for us this morning, and Heather Hicks will be our liturgist, and she will also lead the especially for children part of the service this morning. If you are visiting with us this morning, I invite you to post a note on our Facebook page so we know that you are here. If you would like to learn more about our church, you may contact the church via Facebook or by calling the church office at 614-882-3155. We are glad that you're worshiping with us this morning. And if you're here with us live this morning, usually we have a Zoom coffee hour following the service, but today that has been preempted by our annual meeting. So at 11:15, we will hold the annual meeting of the congregation via Zoom. The link for the annual meeting has been posted on our Facebook page, and you can begin logging in at 11 a.m. This morning. Please join us as we review the year 2020 and share plans for 2021. We have a few announcements this morning, one of which the flowers this morning are given as a celebration of our first Zoom annual meeting. We now have our new sound system up and running, but we are still learning how to use it, and so we welcome you to let us know how the sound quality is during the service by posting a note on Facebook. We appreciate that. Just a note, the demolition of the annex building is now complete, and the new parking lot will commence in the spring. Tomorrow, the ladies' tea will be held at 2:30 p.m., and you can call the church office in the morning if you would like information on how to join in. They meet via Zoom these days. And then next Sunday, we will celebrate communion as part of worship, and you're invited to prepare the elements of bread and juice for yourself in your own home before the service so that you can participate in the communion liturgy that I will lead here. Of course, you are welcome to use that time of the service for prayer and meditation as well. I'm going to invite Lynn to start our service with the prelude, and she'll be playing He Leadeth Me.
Thank you. Let us be called to worship. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. May the Good Shepherd gather us into his flock once again. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our God, our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture. We are the sheep of his hand. Let us worship God. Let us pray. O Lord, we come to you burdened by our sins, seeking your forgiveness. Some of us have hurt someone we love. Some of us have deceived another for our own gain. Some of us have neglected our responsibilities. Some of us have allowed our greed to rule our hearts. Some of us have hated ourselves for not measuring up. Remind us, Lord, of your bountiful forgiveness. Help us to look past the imperfections in ourselves and others to see the core beauty that you have placed in each of us. Teach us to live in joyful anticipation of the day of our perfection. Amen. God loves us and forgives us. God gives us the chance to begin anew. Thanks be to God. Amen. To invite all of our young friends and our young at heart friends to come a little bit closer to your monitors or your phones or whatever it is that you're using at home. And I wanted to talk to you a little bit today about silence. I was very intrigued by Pastor Mark's title of his sermon today, and I thought about what happens when we come out of silence. But first we have to think about when we're in silence. And I think the best time to think about when we're in silence is in the morning, when we are still in bed and we're just waking up and the house is quiet, right? When the house is very quiet and we're quiet because we're still kind of waking up, we're opening our eyes. And the first thing we do is open our eyes, right? So we're letting that light come in. We're letting any sights in our room come in. We might yawn and open our mouth and let that sound come out, right? And then what do? We get up and we stretch our bodies so that we can get some oxygen flowing in our bloodstream. We can move our limbs a little better. We can get out of bed. I don't know about you, but oftentimes I've gotten out of bed and my leg's asleep. And I get out of bed too fast and I fall over, right? Any of you ever had that problem before? Yeah, we don't realize that leg is asleep, so we throw it over the side of the bed and realize, oh, maybe we should have woken it up a little bit, shake it a little bit. But it's quiet in the house, and we can move around and downstairs. You know, God had several times where God was trying to say, hey, it's time to come out of the silence, right? We had the Jews in Egypt, and they couldn't say anything to their superiors because then they might have to do other things or they might be abused. Or maybe even after Jesus rose again, we had Pentecost, right? And the disciples are huddled in this closed room. They're quiet. They're not saying anything. And then all of a sudden, there's the rush of a wind. And all of a sudden, they start speaking. God does amazing things, not only in the silence, but when it's time to come out of the silence. So I want us all to think about when we get up in the morning or when we go about our day, if it's quiet, what do we have to do to get out of the quiet? Or maybe vice versa, if it's too loud, how can we get to quiet? So let's go to God in prayer. Almighty and loving God, we thank you for the quiet in which you dwell, but we also thank you, O God, for sending us out to get out of the quiet. And we love you, O God, and we thank you, O God, for all of the many things that you have given to us in this day and time, as well as in the rest of our lives. And we ask you to be with us, guiding and directing us. Amen.
Thank you, Heather. I want to have for our first scripture reading this morning a reading from the Psalms that did not make it in the order of worship that I sent home with you, and I apologize for that for those of you who follow along at home. But if you want to open your Bibles to Psalm 62, starting at verse 5, you can follow along with me or just listen as I read here. For God alone my soul waits in silence, for my hope is from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. On God rests my deliverance and my honor, my mighty rock. My refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. And here ends our reading from the Psalms. The other two scripture readings I'm going to include in the body of my sermon here this morning. So let us take a moment of prayer. O Lord God, as we ponder your words for us this morning, we ask that your Spirit fill our hearts and your mind and our minds with your truth and your understanding, so that we may follow your words in the way that you want us to. Amen. It was during Lent in 2020 that the pandemic hit Westerville, and we all went down into lockdown mode, and we have remained under the thumb of the disease for a whole year now. So now that we are coming into Lent again, I thought it would be good to reflect on what we have learned in this pandemic year and how we might put what we have learned into practice, not only now as we continue in lockdown mode, but also as we gradually emerge from all this craziness. Last week, I preached about our sense of confinement during the pandemic and what we could learn from that. This week, I entitled my sermon, as Heather alluded to, Listening from the Silence. But I have to tell you, I struggled all week to put this sermon together. And then I realized that I was struggling because I was really working on two sermons for two different audiences. One audience might be best described as being persons who are all alone, isolated, doing nothing but sitting around their homes because of the pandemic. This person might be best exemplified by the single person living alone with medical risk factors that make catching the virus extremely risky. The other audience that was in my mind might be described as harried, overworked, and overstressed people. A person in this category might be a nurse in a big city emergency room with dozens of COVID patients arriving each day, who goes home to two high school age children who are stuck at home because of the pandemic. So given these two audiences, I've decided to do something different this morning. I'm going to preach two sermons, and you can decide which one you want to listen to. You might be in the audience that has found the pandemic to be isolating, lonely, and boring. Or you might be in the audience that has found the pandemic to be hectic, overloading, and stressful. Or you might be somewhere in between, or you might even be oscillating between the two. Anyway, I'll let you decide the audience that most describes your situation, then you can listen to the sermon that goes with that audience. So, for audience number one, those who are isolated, here goes sermon number one. And our scripture for sermon number one is from 1 Kings chapter 19, beginning at the 9th verse. To set the context for this passage, Elijah has successfully defeated the prophets of Baal. But because of that, he flees to the wilderness to avoid the wrath of the queen who has favored the false prophets. His journey takes him to Mount Horeb, where he encounters the voice of God. And we read beginning at verse 9. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." He said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Now there was a great wind, so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks to pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Then there came a voice to him that said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Here ends our Old Testament reading. Thanks be to God. The prophet Elijah went into hiding, not because of some deadly disease, but from an equally deadly opponent, the queen. He couldn't do his prophet ministry. All he could do was sit around, hiding out in his cave all day. He was isolated, lonely, and bored. Sound familiar? Now let me stop sermon one here and start on sermon two so that audience number two doesn't get bored waiting for their sermon to come along. So audience two, here is your scripture reading, which is from the Gospel of Mark, the first chapter, beginning at the 32nd verse. Here, Jesus has begun his ministry of teaching about God and healing the sick. His fame has quickly spread, and the crowds start gathering around him. And this is what we read from Mark. That evening, at sunset, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door, and he cured many who were sick and with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still dark, he got up and went to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him, and when they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns, so that I may proclaim the message there also. For that is what I came to do." And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. And here ends our gospel reading. Thanks be to God. Jesus, in our passage, is surrounded by the crowds, all begging to be healed. His life is full of activity, healing the sick, casting out demons, dealing with impatient disciples, traveling from town to town and preaching in the synagogues. He doesn't have a moment to himself. His life is hectic, overloaded, and stressful. Sound familiar? Maybe each of these passages has a connection to our world amidst the pandemic today. And each may help us understand how God is at work in our lives. So back to audience number one. In our Kings passage, Elijah is confronted with what the Bible says is sheer silence. It was in the sheer silence that Elijah heard the voice of God. Christian author Thomas A. Kempis wrote, "The greatest saints guarded their time alone and chose to serve God in solitude. In silence and peace, a devout soul makes progress and learns the secrets of the scriptures. Only in silence and peace does a devout soul find floods of tears in which it may wash and cleanse itself each night. The further the soul is from the noise of the world, the closer it may be to its creator. For God, with his holy angels, will draw close to a person who seeks solitude and silence. I found those to be very powerful words. For God will draw close a person who seeks solitude and silence. Silence allows space for God to work in our lives. Despite his success with the false prophets, Elijah had let the trials of the world disconnect him from God. Now, in the isolation of a distant mountain, God could reconnect with him. For those who see themselves in audience number one, the isolation you feel may feel like a burden you can't wait to release. And I understand that. But it also can be an opportunity. Maybe our being separated out can become a way for God to enter in, a way for God to work in the silence and solitude that we are currently living. And having said that, I want to turn again to audience number two. You getting the rhythm here now? If we go back to that scripture lesson from Mark and find right in the middle of that passage, there's a verse I want to draw your attention to. It goes, "In the morning, while it was still dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed." In this one verse, tucked away in the middle of all that activity, we find that Jesus goes off to a deserted place and prays. Surrounded by hours of moving about, we find a moment of quiet stillness in this passage. In the midst of action, there is a time of contemplation. It is in that deserted place, that place where he spends time with the Father, that Jesus finds the courage to follow God's words and not his own, and to do God's work and not his own. It is in that isolation where Jesus enters into intimacy with the Father, that is where his ministry is created and recreated. For those of you who see yourself in audience number two, there is a message for you in this passage, that even in the midst of overly hectic lives, one needs to find a moment of stillness to connect with God. And maybe the pandemic is teaching us something about how God works in our lives. And maybe this is where the two sermons come together to form just one sermon for both audience number one and audience number two and everyone in between. The idea that being alone is a time with God is not new. Jesus went off by himself to pray often. And the early Christian monks went off into the desert to be alone with God. And in the Middle Ages, women like Julian of Norwich isolated themselves so that they could grow closer to God. Even today, there are retreat centers where you can spend time in silence, listening for the word of God to come to you. However, being alone is not all that it takes to connect with God. Contemplative silence is not just the lack of noise. It is creating the audio space to feel that God is deeply present with you and that God deeply loves you. The point is not a sterile silence, but to make yourself aware of a presence with you, that there is something to listen for. So I invite you to find that deserted place, whether it already be the home that you're in, or a room in your crowded house that you can claim as your own for a while. Or maybe it's a spot in the woods or the park or a visit to the church or a cathedral. But find a place and then just listen in the silence. And if you do, you'll begin to hear things that you didn't notice that were there. The sound of leaves rustling in the trees, the birds singing, or of human voices in the distance. And in amongst those sounds, you may hear the voice of God as well. It can be awkward to spend an extended time in solitude and silence. It is easy to get fidgety, it's easy to get distracted, it's easy to pull out and re-engage in the noise-filled world, but it can also be wonderful. To spend even a few minutes in silence can be transcendent. There is a feeling of mystery in such silences and a feeling of love. These moments are often energizing for those who are able to experience them. Ruth Burroughs, a Carmelite nun, writes that prayer, especially in silence, is easier than we think because it is, quote, essentially what God does, how God addresses us and looks at us. It is not primarily something we are doing to God or something we are giving to God, but it is what God is doing for us. And what God is doing for us is giving us the divine self in love. The real discipline of silence is to let go of all that is going around us and within us and let God love us, even if just for a moment. The pandemic has given some the opportunity to explore how solitude and silence can enrich one's connection with God, and it shows others how necessary it is. With the prospect of returning to some sense of normal life in the not too distant future, it would be a shame if we didn't take this learning with us, so that our return to normal might be even better than normal. And there you have it, two audiences, two sermons, and one God who loves us all. Amen. Thank you, Lynn. We come now to our time of prayer, and as we do, we lift up prayer concerns brought by the community. We want to include Mary Bricker and Sarah Bricker-Smith. Bob Smith died a little over a week ago, and we certainly grieve with them. We want to include Betty Doherty in our prayers, who is recovering from a fall. Eric Fredrickson, who will have a heart procedure this week. We celebrate with Elaine Russell, who has moved into her new residence on Friday, and we're glad that she is there now. Babette Lane's high school friend, Marion Davis, has COVID, but Bev sends word that she is improving. Bev also asked for prayers for a former member of our church, Susie White, who now lives in Florida. She had a heart attack followed by surgery and is now recuperating. Marge and Eric Fredrickson asked for prayers for a family in their neighborhood who all have COVID. Marge Rebeverage is in rehab. We want to include her in our prayers. Sue Lample's daughter, Jeannie, is going through chemotherapy, and we want to hold her in our prayers as she continues that long process. And we continue prayers for the family and friends of Betty Gillum. Let us now take a moment and offer our silent prayers before God, and then I'll lead in our common prayers. Let us pray. O Lord, hear our prayers. God of glory, you sent your Son Jesus so that we might have life. Show us the ways we fail to live the life that you have granted us. And we ask your forgiveness and your guidance. Good and merciful God, we give you thanks that through baptism we have died to sin and been raised to walk with Christ in the newness of life. We thank you for the evidence of new life around us. We especially thank you for the faithful witnesses of your people, for the love of family and friends, for the energy to study, to work, to play, for the joy of children who are loved and are loving. Compassionate God, your love extends to the whole world. Open our eyes to see the suffering of your people everywhere and give us the courage to make their needs our own. We especially pray for children who are neglected, abused, or oppressed, for the sick and those who mourn, for persons who are lonely or fearful, for those whose countries are torn by war, the hungry and the homeless, for those who wait for justice and freedom. Walk with us every day during this season of Lent, O God, and send us to do your work. And giving thanks to you that all you have done through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, a reminder that at 11:15, we'll be holding the annual meeting of the congregation via Zoom, and we invite you to come and join and be part of that. We should be able to log in shortly after 11 a.m. this morning. And then I also ask you to remember that God's blessings are with you, wherever you are, wherever you go, and may you always be aware of that. Amen.